Hey Beeps, it's me, Christine, and I want to share with you a game-changing product that has improved my sleep and daily health. So let's dive in. You all know through my journey, I have struggled with sleep, being afraid of it, not getting quality sleep, and not being able to regulate my temperature throughout the night. I definitely learned the hard way, but sleep matters big time. It's when your muscles repair, your brain detoxes, and your body can work on cellular renewal. We just can't afford to miss out on an adequate amount of high-quality sleep, which is kind of hard when you have a rare disease. There's not much that I control in this real life, but one of the easiest and most effective ways to get better sleep every single night is through temperature regulation. Studies actually prove cooler temperatures lead to a deeper, more restful sleep, and that insomniacs actually lack this natural drop in core body temperature, which is what keeps them up at night. Personally, I run hot. This means that even if my room is super cold, I wake up in a pool of sweat, uncomfortable, changing my clothes several times throughout the night. It's frustrating for obvious reasons, and this is why I was so relieved to discover this transformative product from Chili. The Cube from Chili Sleep is a system that fits right over the top of your mattress and uses water to control the temperature of your bed, which helps lower your internal temperature and triggers deeper, relaxing sleep. Since water has 30 times more thermal conductivity than air, these systems are a lot more effective than just cranking up the AC. I mean, I keep my house at 65, so it has to be true. Ever since I started using the Cube system, I've noticed I fall asleep a lot faster, sleep deeper, and wake up feeling fully rested. Now, my wife is not a polar bear like me and likes to sleep a little bit warmer. So I love that we can each have our own temperatures on either side of the bed. Chili products can range between 55 and 115 degrees. Right now, Chili is offering my audience a really great deal. When you go to chilisleep.com/findyourrare20, you get 20% off the Cube All Sleep Systems with Find Your Rare 20. Sleep is something we could all use more of, and we can all take small steps towards getting better sleep to improve our life in big ways. I hope you'll check out the Chili Sleep System and see why I love their product so much.
Welcome to the Because We're Strong podcast, where we talk all things rare disease and chronic illness and how to navigate a rare life. Together, we're sitting down every week to get your stories and insight on how you navigate this rare life. You can expect everything real and raw in the hopes that your story, along with ours, helps another person who is dealing with a similar rare struggle. So grab your favorite drink, a comfy blanket, and buckle in, because rare disease isn't for the faint of heart. Hey peeps, we're back, and this week we're talking with JT, a rare disease warrior who has taken his diagnosis of Friedreich's ataxia and turned it into his destiny. Despite the obstacles put in his way, Jacob has fully taken on his trials head on and truly turned them into something beautiful and inspirational. Using spoken word, hip hop, and public speaking, JT has been able to spread his message to over 10,000 people and counting through his brand, 1020 Words. We feel incredibly blessed to have connected with JT. And again, the power of Instagram. Without any further delay, I'm your host, Teresa.
And I'm Christine. Let's dive in. Welcome, Jacob. Thank you for being here with us today. We are both so excited to have you.
Thank you for having me. It's definitely an honor and a pleasure to be here. So I'm excited.
Yeah, we are too. We're very appreciative. So I wanted to just get right into the meat of things. Could you tell us and our listeners a little bit about your journey, how it started, and kind of your road to diagnosis?
Yeah, definitely. So Friedreich's ataxia, or FA, as most people call it, is actually a genetic condition. So I've had it my entire life. I didn't know, though, until I was 24. So basically, you know, growing up, I was super into sports. My dad and my grandpa were Division I athletes. So that was like a huge part of my life. And as a kid, you know, it was like I was really good. I played baseball, hockey, football, And as I grew up, I started, at first it was like my performance just never peaked to what I thought it would be. So towards the end of high school, I didn't really live up to the expectations that I had. But that was all I really thought of it. I just thought, man, I'm not performing super well. And I thought I must not have been the great athlete that I had been when I was younger or that I expected to be. But going into college, things kept progressing. And the way I can best describe it is to relate it to my car that I used to drive. I used to drive a 2002 Jeep Cherokee, and it had a tick in the engine. And this tick, it was pretty noticeable, but basically I would turn the music up and just ignore it. And that worked for a while, but eventually it kept getting worse and worse and worse, and I had to figure out what was wrong with it. And that's the same thing that was happening with my health. There would be different ticks along the journey where I was running and I lost my balance one time, or I went to skate and I wasn't able to skate like I used to be, or I went to water ski and do all these things and I started having trouble doing them. And I would just, going with the metaphor, turn the music up. I would just ignore it. I would avoid things that were really difficult and just didn't really think I had a major problem. And kind of the point where the breaking point, if you will, was I was in Florida with my family and we rented a paddleboard. And if you've been paddleboarding and you don't have any condition, it's not very difficult. You just stand on a board and you paddle. And I was trying to do it. And to give context, I'd grown up wakeboarding, slalom skiing, skimboarding, doing all these more difficult water sports. And I got on this paddleboard and I could not stay up. And at that point, you know, I had to ask myself the question, what is wrong? You know, why is my balance so bad? Why am I feeling fatigued? Why am I feeling dizzy? And I finally went to a physical therapist thinking maybe I had too many concussions playing football, playing hockey. I know I hit my head a lot, and maybe it's throwing my balance off. And going to that physical therapist was really eye-opening for me because I was put through exercises that I had avoided for years, and they were extremely difficult for me. And the physical therapist referred me to a neurologist. The neurologist told me I had ataxia, which is really a blanket term for a loss of coordination, balance, and movement abilities. And then from there, I was referred to an ataxia specialist who suggested maybe I do have FA. And at that point, they ran several blood tests, and they're actually able to locate a specific gene and determine whether or not you actually have FA. And sure enough, that was the diagnosis. So yeah, that's kind of the basis of how I found out that I do have FA.
You know, JT, we listen to a lot of stories, we connect with a lot of people, and I have to say, the car metaphor that you just gave may be the best one I have ever heard. I may have to steal it because it is so true. Just turn the music up. Just turn the music up. For so many of us, I think these things, because there's so much genetics and rare disease, I think there are symptoms throughout our life that we just turn the music up and we don't really realize. So that like hit my heart and I'm totally going to take that one.
Yep, definitely.
So how difficult was it mentally to handle your dream slipping away and your life completely changing? At this point, how old were you?
Yeah, it was definitely difficult. I was 24 years old. I was married. I've been married 2 years. My wife and I had just bought our first home. And it was really difficult because, you know, it was like I had my whole life in front of me. My dream of, you know, being this athlete obviously had already kind of passed. I knew I wasn't going to the NFL or anything like that. But I had just started making music and really starting to build that. My dream was I wanted to be this hip hop artist and have millions of fans and tour the world and do all that. And when I was diagnosed, it just, I didn't really understand it at first. It was almost like I was in shock. But as I started to think about it, it would hit me like in everything I did. So I go to the gym in the morning and I see older people working out. And I would think to myself, you know, wow, when I'm that age, I'll probably be in a wheelchair if I'm even alive. And it was like everywhere I would go, you know, you see parents playing with their kids at the park and thinking, you know, I don't know, I probably won't be able to throw the football with my son. And I may not be able to take my kids to the park and run around and, you know, go on these hikes or go on. A bunch of my friends did a triathlon and it was like, you know, knowing, man, I can't. I would love to be doing that with them, but I can't. And so there were so many things just that were difficult to even comprehend. I remember one time just, you know, getting vulnerable, dancing with my wife, and I really just broke down. And the thought that I may not be able to do this forever, just really overwhelmed me. And so that's a brief, you know, description of the difficulty associated with this kind of diagnosis. I can describe it too as like just a cloud over your head. You know, I definitely went through a period of feeling hopeless, feeling depressed, feeling like it was hard to get out of bed, and everything I did, I had this cloud where I wasn't experiencing joy. And I'll say too, for those who don't know what FA is, I have a more mild diagnosis compared to a lot of people. They may end up in a wheelchair in their early teens, you know. So if I'm describing to you what it was like for me, I can't even imagine somebody who has it much worse.
So, JT, we definitely want to jump into the present and 10-20 words and how you came to bringing so much inspiration to everyone you encounter. You know, like you said, receiving a diagnosis like you received is shocking, and I can't imagine it, incredibly difficult. And so, you know, it's pretty amazing that you chose to take your diagnosis and, you know, use it to raise awareness and use it to inspire people. So can you talk a little bit about that?
So My story is definitely ironic because before I was diagnosed, I started doing spoken word. I started doing music, and I always had a desire to bring hope to people. And I had this desire to inspire people. And that was a theme always in my music, in my poetry. And I even wrote a lot about persevering through trials and all this stuff that the irony was all that time, those songs I had written were really written for me and what I was going to be going through. And so I've been doing music, been doing poetry, and then when I was diagnosed, it felt like, you know, all that dream had just kind of died. Like, there was no way I could really keep doing this. And I actually came to a point, like I said, I was just feeling down. I was feeling depressed. I was feeling hopeless. And I came across an inspirational speaker, actually, by the name Inky Johnson. So shout out, Inky. I saw one of his videos. And long story short, for him, he was on his way to the NFL. And right before he got there, he paralyzed his left arm and ended his football career. And I saw this video of him telling his story and talking about how what he was going through was actually an opportunity for him to be the person that he always had been, but to show that on a new level. And it was really an opportunity to inspire and encourage others by maintaining his joy and persevering and maintaining faith through such a tragic moment. And so when I saw that video, which I highly recommend all his videos, when I saw that, it was like my perspective shifted. And I realized in that moment, like, what was happening to me was really an opportunity. You know, I've been speaking about hope. I've been speaking about perseverance. I've been speaking about keeping faith. And all these things I had mentored, all these students, given so many messages, written so many songs. And I realized this diagnosis was really an opportunity to show that I really believed everything I've been saying. And then when I went back and listened to my own music, it spoke to me in a whole new way. And I realized I was talking to my, in the past, when I recorded, I was talking to my future self. And so that just gave me a new vision, really, to keep speaking, keep doing music, keep doing poetry. And now I'm also writing. I'm doing a blog and writing a book. And keep doing all that with a new understanding and a new angle. And realizing one of the biggest things I learned in my diagnosis is, like, everybody has difficulty and adversity in their life. But we all face really the same decision. Are we going to make the most of our situation, or are we going to be defeated by it? And so that's kind of where I'm at now. My goal really is to speak in high schools, especially, and just share my story and share a message with them. And then through speaking, writing, poetry, music, try to inspire people, help them keep faith, help them keep hope and perseverance, whether it's a disease or a broken home or a death or whatever it is. You know, I just want to inspire people and help them in their journey as well. So
you said two very powerful things that I just want to quickly circle back to, because they are deeply rooted within Teresa and I's like values and commitment to RARE. And that's why I think one of the reasons we were so excited to have you on here. First, you talked about that everything that has happened was preparing you for who you were always meant to be. And we could not agree with that statement more. And there is some sort of peace in that. And so I love that you just said that. And then you'll hear me say it a million times. Everybody's fighting a battle you know nothing about. And so I love that you kind of just touched upon, you know, that as well. Because it's true. You know, everyone has got something. And I always say, whether it's Ben and Jerry's that's out of ice cream or a rare disease, it doesn't really matter. Like, you're valid and it's what you do with it after that. So we absolutely love that. How did you come up with the name 1020 Words?
Yeah, great question. 1020 was originally just my rapper name. You know, if you're going to be a rapper, you have to have a cool name.
I love that.
And
very true.
It came from really just brainstorming, and actually 1020 has a double meaning. J and T are the 10th and 20th letter in the alphabet. But it's also,
I love symbolism.
Yeah. It's also based off a Bible verse, actually, Matthew 10:20. And it says, it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of the Father speaking through you. And so that just, it was like that verse encapsulated my mission as an artist. I wanted to speak everything I spoke from a spirit of my faith that would speak life, hope, and encouragement into people. And so that's how it became 1020. And then when I was coming up with the website and a media handle, I didn't just want to be 1020 music, because music was the only part of my mission. I wanted to do music, poetry, speaking, writing. And so that's how I came up with words. Whatever form the words are in, whether it be music from a stage, in a blog, you know, I want the words to be powerful. I want the words to be from the Spirit of the Father, just like that Bible verse says. And so that's how 1020 came to be.
No, I love that. I'm a huge person with symbolism and like ever all the hitting meetings and stuff. So I really like that. And did you know today is actually, we're recording this on, anyone who's listening out there, we're recording this on National Dictionary Day. So I think it's very fitting that we have you on here, because words are so powerful, positive and negatively. So quite fortuitous that we are taping today on National Dictionary Day. But what impact do you hope to make, like, overall with your brand and 1020 Words?
That is a great question. I have two goals. One is to raise awareness for FA and for other rare disease. You know, I actually recently participated in a trial study for a treatment for FA, and it seems very promising, and I'm very hopeful that there could be a treatment in the near future. But that's only come through so much awareness, so much money, research, all these things. So in raising awareness, you know, I hope to see whether it be FA or really any other rare disease gain more resources, and therefore more research and more treatment. So that is one mission of 1020. And the other is literally, it may sound like a lofty goal, but literally to save lives. I believe people are struggling, young people. You know, I actually coach high school football, and some of the young guys that I work with, they have incredibly hard situations. I believe that people everywhere, especially young people, they're struggling, and they're struggling to know, you know, who am I, do I belong, and do I matter? I believe through speaking a message in a high school, or through a blog post, or through a book, this book that I'm writing, it could literally save someone's life. You know, somebody could hear a message and decide their life was worth living when they weren't sure if it was or not. Even if somebody is not at that level of questioning whether they want to live or not, I believe that just people need encouragement, people need inspiration, people need hope. And ultimately, you know, in my belief, people need a purpose. And I believe that God has a purpose for everyone. And so that's the other half of the 1020 mission, is just to help people know who they are, to help people know they do belong, they are loved, and their life is worth it.
I don't think we could agree anymore with you. We love what you're doing, targeting that age group. They're so vulnerable, and it's totally needed. So we hate to put you on the spot. Just kidding. I'm actually really awkward and tend to do this to a lot of people, so I'm sorry. But would you be able to give us a little sneak listen at one of your spoken word pieces? We'll link, for all you listeners, we'll link it to the show notes, the full version. But what do you say, JT?
Let's do it.
Haha, so excited.
I'm going to actually give you something unreleased, but you can link.
I'll link obviously. I feel special, yeah. Guys. I hope you all do too.
Okay, this is part of an actual series that I wrote, but I'll do one part. I know God has a purpose. If it wasn't for my trials, I never would have written these verses. And if everything in my life was perfect, then really I would have no reason to worship. Because you don't know what healing is until you've had a broken heart. And the light shines brighter when you come out of the dark. And all my pain just made my spirit unbreakable. And all my doubts just made my faith unshakable. See, my story is something only God could write. I would have never known my purpose if I never had to fight this fight. And there's a reason I've endured all those sleepless nights, so I could tell you that everything is going to be all right. Because heaven is my home, and this earth is only temporary. So you don't have to cry when you lay me in the cemetery. And I can say that truthfully because I'll know I stood for something on the day they read my eulogy. See, one of God's soldiers, you could bet I'm on the roster. And no weapon formed against me shall prosper. So I'll press on whatever storm I may weather. Because for those who love God, all things work together. Thank you.
Wow. You moved me to chills and to tears. That was one of the most amazing things that I think I've ever heard. And I mean, I'm speechless. I don't even know really what I was going to say. I think that you have been given such an incredible gift. And, you know, sometimes it can be hard to hear that. And I know people that are in the beginning of their rare disease journey, you don't always think of your circumstance as a gift, but you truly have embraced it and really just used it in such a powerful way. And I think that you're not only going to touch other people that have FA, but you're going to touch so many other people that have so many other issues that aren't even related to rare disease. So I'm so thankful that you chose to share that with us. We feel incredibly special, especially since you haven't released it yet. So thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course. Before we let you go, where can people find more of your work? And where can they follow your journey and stay connected with you?
Yeah. So 1020, that's TEN20words.com. That is my website. There's a store on there, a blog. There's links to all my music, videos, all my social media. And then Facebook and Instagram at 1020 words. So again, TEN20words. Yeah, that's where I post everything. Hopefully, my book, it's the first draft of my book is done, but we still have a way to go with editing and publishing and all that, but coming hopefully 2021. And then, you know, if you happen to work in a school district or a church or a camp, whatever it is, I would absolutely love to come share with your audience. So you can find me on my website, and I would love to be in touch.
Amazing. I you know, you are bound for very big things. And, you know, I just want to thank you so much again for coming on and sharing your journey with us. We know that you're going to continue to spread inspiration and hope to, like I said, not only the rare disease community, but the rest of the world. So thank you again.
Well, like I said, it's been a huge honor. And even just following you guys and seeing your mission, your brand, and what you're doing has been extremely encouraging to me. And it gives me more hope to know that more people are fighting and advocating and bringing hope, bringing awareness. So thank you for what you're doing. And, you know, thank you so much for choosing to have me on here.
Of course, you're welcome. You know, everything gets done together. We fight together. We advocate together. So of course, for everyone listening and for everyone out there fighting a battle, know that you're not alone. And thank you so much for your support. Until next time, live large and stay rare.
Thanks for listening to the Because We're Strong podcast. To continue the conversation about rare disease and all the unknowns that come with it, don't forget to subscribe and catch us next week for another episode. To learn more about our stories or how to share yours, visit www.findyourrare.com. Feel free to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We look forward to connecting and bridging the gap between the struggles of the rare disease community and the rest of the world.